Welcome to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. Well, there's big, big, big news in Chapel Hill. And those people who've been in Chapel Hill for 25 years or so remember the time when Diamond Studs, production of written by Jim Chapel Hill's then Chapel Hill's Jim Wine and by our own Bland Simpson, not only bowled us over in Chapel Hill, but made its way across the country to New York for an off-Broadway run for many months. Well, we've been wondering where it is. Now, thanks to Mojo Productions, we've got it back, and it's playing right now at the Barn in Farrington. And Franklin Golden, who is a principal of Mojo Productions, has produced many, many of my favorite productions before. And Creighton Irons are here to tell us all about Diamond Studs. Franklin, this is not your first production. You're an accomplished producer of local musicals, aren't you? I mean,
I guess I've been at it since college, since 1996. Mojo started out as a student organization at Chapel Hill, and Bland Simpson was our advisor. So Bland's been in it with Mojo from the beginning. And since that time, Mojo's done five or six shows, most of them here in Chapel Hill. So,
Run through the titles because they'll bring back memories for me.
Okay. The first show we did was Cotton Patch Gospel. Then we did Pump Boys and Dinettes. And then the year after I graduated, we produced the premiere of Good Old Girls in Swain Hall.
This was Lee Smith's and
Jill and Matresa Berg, Marshall Chapman. So two novelists and short story writers and two unbelievable songwriters. And that was fun to see something happen basically from the
ground
up.
That was your world premiere production.
That was it. And I think that more than anything kind of assured that I'd be back at it. When we were doing it as a student group, it was fun, but I didn't have any intention of continuing. But we had a great time with Good Old Girls and then went on to do King Mackerel and the Blues Are Running, another of Bland and Jim shows down in Charleston, then Bah Humbug, a Jack Herrick piece back in Chapel Hill. But since that time, I haven't done anything in Chapel Hill until now with Diamond Studs.
Well, tell us about Diamond Studs, and if you will, in that connection, tell us a little bit about the story of Diamond Studs.
Mm-hmm, sure. Well, my personal connection with Diamond Studs came before I came to Chapel Hill, and my dad, knowing my interest, said, when you get there, go find Bland Simpson. And so I did. And
change your life.
It did. It led to all sorts of things I couldn't have anticipated. But just about since that time, it's been on my mind to do Diamond Studs here, where the show got started. And as you mentioned, it was Jim and Bland and their bands. And essentially, they were just trying to find a creative, clever way to promote their band. They had no idea.
What they were doing is finding a way to make music live. Mm-hmm. It might make music be performable other than just kind of playing the song and letting people listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
It was dramatizing music. Is that
right? They I don't know exactly how it happened. I know that Jim had named his son Jesse James Wan and started to do research about Jesse James. And in the course of this, they got together with the Red Clay Ramblers and they took some of the old traditional music, which you'll hear in a second, and Jim and Bland started composing songs. And it kind of just came together, and this new form of musical theater was created, musicians' theater, where all the actors are singers and performers. One of the amazing things about Diamond Studs is all the shows it's led to. Upwards of 20 different shows, I think.
Out of this sort of way of presenting
music.
Yeah. Like some of the ones that you mentioned
exactly.
earlier.
Most of the shows Mojo's done have been in this genre.
Well, tell us, you brought Creighton Irons, Chapel Hill's own Creighton Irons, into the production, and mm-hmm. what is his role in all of this?
Well, Bland emailed me first about Creighton when I told Bland we were pondering doing Studs. And so Creighton and I got together, and he's been involved with all aspects of production. His primary role has been, however, musical director, in which he's I'll let Creighton talk about what he's done.
Yeah, what
there.
Are you doing, Creighton?
Well, this morning I was returning phone calls, but generally I've been just helping get a lot of the vocals straight and working with the musicians on getting all the music in line. And really the music aspect, the actual instrumental aspect has been a breeze because the guys that we're working with are just so accomplished and so talented. I mean, this crew is, it's an awesome crew. I mean, it's the cream of the crop of local talent.
Well,
you know.
So the music is not a problem, but delivering the music.
Well, yeah, and the vocals, the vocal lines have been a kind of a bigger deal.
In what sense? In terms of having it.
I think people understand it pretty well. They get it pretty well. But these guys, most of them are musicians first, singers second, and singers only when they have to be. And there's a few big exceptions to that. Miles Andrews being one big exception, who can really sings a lot with his band Big Fat Gap and has been a real natural singing on stage. But a lot of the harmonies and things like that have been
difficult. What about Franklin? Is Franklin a natural, or are you going to have to work really hard with him?
Man, that has been the biggest case yet. No, I'm just kidding. Franklin's doing great.
Well, this is great. And now, for those of us who don't know the Diamond Stud story, let's put it in perspective, and then maybe you all can you share with us one of the scenes from the production? What is it?
Sure.
It's about Jesse James, but what about Jesse James?
Well, there are all sorts of ways you can tell any story. The way that Jim chose when he was writing the book to tell the story of Jesse James is from the Southern perspective, viewing Jesse James as kind of a Robin Hood type figure who just wouldn't quite let the war go. So
but the Yankees were the bad guys, the Southerners were the good guys, and he...
It was pretty black and white in his mind, yeah. And so his outlawry and banditry is kind of an outgrowth of the Civil War. And he just keeps on fighting. So when they go to Minnesota, for example, one of the motivations is because, Minnesota's in the north. Remember what they did to us. Let's rob their banks. And in one of the early scenes, we get a glimpse of that when Jesse, when he's just a 16-year-old boy, after he gets permission from his mother, who doesn't want him to go, goes off to fight with William Clark Quantrill. And
Quantrill, that's kind of everybody remembers that name. He was kind of semi-Confederate, semi-outlaw raider from the beginning. Mm-hmm. Is that sort of right?
I think that's right. Yeah.
So Jesse signed up to fight with this group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was kind of a wild outfit, and his cousins were part of it: Jim Cole and Bob Younger.
And you play Jesse.
Mm-hmm.
Franklin Golden plays Jesse, and I know y'all are in rehearsals, and so this maybe we can't hear a final version, mm-hmm. but. Will you share with us a rehearsal version and tell us what this scene's about?
I'd be glad to. Yeah, this is when Jesse James meets his cousins, meets William Clark Quantrill, and then they all break into this Year of Jubilo song, which is one of the songs that the Red Clay Ramblers brought. That the Year of Jubilo, I think, is one of the songs that actually predates the Civil War. Yeah. And so you've got on this track, you've got Big Fat Gap and Carl Jones and Joseph DiCosimo, who Carl and Joseph are phenomenal old-time musicians. So we've got old-time and bluegrass and a little bit of the scene.
And Greg Bell on the piano as well.
That's right, and Greg Bell on the piano, who I've worked with on most every show I've done. Greg, who runs the Festival for the Eno. So.
Well, let's listen to this scene of Jesse James joining the Confederate Army.
All right.
Quantrill's Camp, 1863.
Dealer takes three. What you got, little brother?
Let's see. I got queens and fours.
I got a full house. Sorry, little brother.
Shut up! Shut up! Someone's coming.
Who's there?
It's Buck.
Buck, you got through.
Howdy, bud. Bob, Jim.
It's good to see you. Who's the sprout?
Oh, bud, this is my brother, Jesse. Jesse, these are your cousins.
Cousins?
On mother's side. Bob, Jim, and Cole Young. Three of the best gorillas who ever fixed a bayonet.
I don't have to fix mine. It works real good already. I don't know if he's big enough to kill Yankees.
I hear you've been wounded 14 times. So much for being big.
It's tough, ain't he?
Oh, yeah. He's a James.
What's up, boys?
Charlie!
Jess, this is William Clark Quantrill. Charlie, this is my brother, Jess. He's a Yankee killer.
He's a boy!
Oh, no, Charlie. Yankees hung my stepdaddy in a plum tree, and I'm ready to fight.
Easy, son. We're on the same side.
Ever fired a pistol?
Juice better than me, Charlie.
Well, if you're James.
Jesse James.
Now listen, man. Major Johnson from up in Kansas is on our ass, and he's got up to 200 men. Right now, we only got 40.
And no doubt, them Jayhawks are going to be mad as hell about that raid in Lawrence, Kansas.
You sure you can shoot Jesse?
Dad, burn right I can. I'll show you.
No, Jesse! Ouch! Pinch my finger. Dad, burn. Dingus. Dingamajig.
Dingamajig?
Ha! Well, you shoot all right, you dingus.
That's right. We can't lose this war with dingus.
I'm trying my best, but I don't know how I'm ever gonna keep them out. All day the bullets fly, all four lay me low. It must be now our kingdom's coming, the year of Jubilo. I've got no quarrel with the black man's freedom, I hope it is complete. I have a feeling that we're gonna need them when we get back on our feet. Our money's gone, our ranks are thinner, and I hope they're fading fast. The future that we leave, we're saving already in the past. All day the bullets fly, all four to lay me low. It must be now the kingdom's coming, the year of Jubilo.
Wow, that's pretty lively stuff, you guys.
Yeah. Well, those fiddlers really, really helped kick it up. You know, a lot of the old-time numbers, those Joseph DeCosimo and Carl Jones on the fiddle, man, really keep it alive.
Well, if you join us late, while you were listening to the music, this is from Diamond Studs, and this was the music that accompanied Jesse James signing up to be a part of the Confederate Army. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of a blending of the outlaw and the unreconstructed rebel, I guess. Is that right, Franklin Glendon? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's it hits on a lot of the themes. Unreconstructed rebel, actually, the song, which is another one of the old songs, comes up next. And it's just one more example of the unwillingness of these guys to quit fighting.
I'll tell you what, let's take a break, and then we'll come back and listen to that song. We're talking about Diamond Studs, which is a current production being performed out at Farrington in the Barn. Don't miss it. We're talking to Franklin Golden, who's the producer and also the star as Jesse James and the musical director, Creighton Irons. We'll all be right back.
Hi, this is Lauren Kacharski. I would like to invite you to join the Kappa Epsilon Pharmaceutical Fraternity for a golf tournament on March 31st, 2006 to be held at the Preserve at Jordan Lake. We are currently looking for sponsors for the event benefiting the Susan Komen Foundation for Breast Cancer Research. As a co-sponsor, your logo will appear on all banners and automobiles at the event, as well as the tournament t-shirt. Your company will also be given a promotional table at the country club. As a golf ball sponsor, your logo will be placed on all golf balls given to the players. Collapsible coolers will also be given to each player, and this sponsorship is open as well. The final available sponsorship is a golf cart sponsor, where you will have your company logo placed on all golf carts. Each of these sponsorships is tax deductible and all benefit the life-changing cause of breast cancer research. For more information, visit studentorgs.unc.edu/KE. Thanks, WCHL, for caring about breast cancer research.
And now, here's Deborah Miller from A Southern Season.
From our legendary Tar Heels to our incomparable quality of life, our hometown pride is evident at every turn. Named one of America's outstanding retailers at the International Fancy Food Show, we're bursting at the seams with award-winning gifts of good taste, glorious flavors, and gustatory delights. Our family of customers extends far and wide, but we wouldn't even think of calling anywhere else home.
A Southern Season, Chapel Hill's landmark gourmet emporium at University Mall.
Who's Talking with D.G. Martin can be heard once again Sunday mornings on News Talk 1360 WCHL.
Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. We're talking about Diamond Studs. It's the life of Jesse James. But more than that, it is a production written by our own Bland Simpson and by Jim Wan, who used to live with us here in Chapel Hill. It's a Chapel Hill production that made its way across the world, but it hadn't been back here in a long time until Franklin Golden and his production company, Mojo Productions, has brought it back. And he recruited Creighton Irons to direct the music and got them both here telling us about the story of Jesse James and a little bit about the story of their production of Diamond Studs. Unreconstructed Rebel, I mean, that's the theme.
Yeah, that's certainly part of it.
You know what I would say is that a lot of these songs in here, you know, they're kind of, if you try to follow them in an exact kind of, the way they propel the plot, you're going to be chasing a lot of red herrings because they're more than moving a plot along. They kind of tell the story. They use the story of Jesse James to paint a picture of life in the South at that time and to just kind of give it's a vehicle for the kind of energy that this show is. The show, I would say the show is enthusiasm and life and energy.
Yeah, well, you're the music director, and so you'd argue that although the story plot is important, it's really just a string to hang this musical, great musical.
And, you know, I guess a lot of people would say that's what I always say, even when it's not true, but I think it's definitely true in this case, and the music definitely drives this show, and it is the show.
Well, Creighton Irons is music director, then we talked about sharing the Unreconstructed Rebel song. How does that fit in your sort of analysis that this is more music than it is story?
Well, you know, this song never struck me until we had Carl Jones singing. And Carl Jones is an older member of the cast and just adds so much to the whole feel of the show just by his presence. He adds a lot of depth to it, I'd say, and a lot of, texture, I guess. That's a funny word to use. When he sings this song, you feel it in your bones. It's to your core. And even if, a lot of the themes are, obviously we're not still fighting the war right now, and that's not something that anybody's really suggesting with this show. The sentiment of, not wanting to be downtrodden and stepped on, I think is something that all of us can identify
with.
Let's
listen to this song.
Who's
singing it? And
this is Carl Jones singing "Unreconstructed Rebel."
I am a good old rebel. Now that's just what I am. For your fair land of freedom, I do not give a damn. I'm glad we fit again, you, and I only wish we'd won. I don't need no pardon for anything I done. I can't pick up my musket and fight you anymore. But I don't have to love you, that's one thing for sure. I do not need a pardon for being what I am. I won't be reconstructed, and I do not give a damn.
All right, wow. That's a short, poignant. And I want to keep focusing musically on what is this in the middle of all of this enthusiastic
exuberance
and all this, then you throw in, if you didn't listen to the words, it could be like a hymn.
Yeah. I mean, or it could be like a dirge.
A dirge.
It's really, it's And it is a solo spot on stage, no instruments. It's the, you know, it's one of two a cappella numbers in the show, and by far the most focused and tuned in number of the show. And it really, it personalizes the story, I think, in a big way. Whereas, you know, everything else is very group-oriented, and everybody's, you know, up there playing together, singing together. Here's this one man singing this song.
Do you all know the background of the song? Was this written especially for the production? Or
this is another one of the older songs that one of the Ramblers, I think one of the Ramblers.
Dug up
and arranged it. Actually, it was Jan Davidson who arranged it, who wasn't a Rambler, but now teaches in the folklore program somewhere up in the mountains, I think.
Well,
so they all had a background into this original, authentic American folk music, which is one of the amazing things about the show, how the folk music is blended with the new compositions. But what Creighton says is right. I mean, it's a big ensemble piece, and then all of a sudden Carl Jones steps up and steals the show with that moment.
Creighton mentioned how important Carl Jones is to the production in the mm-hmm. sense that he's senior to the youthful vibrance of most of the participants in the production. And it led me to wonder, Franklin, how did you handle the recruitment of the players for this mm-hmm. for this production? Did you take charge of this, or did you get your director to help you with this? Or how does a producer do this?
Well, the Mojo method is a little unorthodox. It always has been. What I did this time and what I usually do is call a core group of folks, Greg Bell and Amanda Watkins being the first two usually.
So you got some people you worked with that you trust and you kind of fit into the production as you see it.
Mm-hmm. And they get it. You know, these are different kinds of shows.
All right, but then there are along the margins. I don't want to say along the margins, mm-hmm. but then there are other mm-hmm. there are some blanks to fill in once you get your hardcore people that you mm-hmm. trust and know, then you've got some blanks. And how do you go after filling those blanks?
Well, and you're right. There were a lot of blanks with this show because the show's so big. There are 18 of us in it when you count the five dancers who are wonderful. The way we did it this time was we took some recommendations. And Creighton and Greg Bell had both seen Big Fat Gap. And Bland actually saw him up at a writer's conference in Hillsboro. And gave us the recommendation, too. So a big piece of the puzzle was filled when we found Big Fat Gap, who've been wildly popular in the last year or two, playing bluegrass in Chapel Hill.
So got a great following. Sort of, I mean, and nobody is the Red Clay Ramblers, but they're like the Red Clay mm-hmm. Ramblers were 25, 30 years ago.
And I think they are. They've got a similar, from what I understand, a similar kind of attitude about music. They're
And so did you just go to the leader of the group and say, you guys want to help, or is there a little bit of dancing around to say, well, can I hear you? What would you think about this? How does that
We don't really audition. We did listen to them, but it was pretty much decided if they wanted to do it, we'd love to have them. And one of the members who's not in the show is a fraternity brother of mine, Chris Heaney. So we had that little tie-in and got together with Chris and then talked to the rest of them.
Franklin, I have to ask you this because mm-hmm. I'm always interested in the business aspects of any production. And, mm-hmm. of course, this is the kind of production that could never be produced down here if you were having union mm-hmm. union scale. Nevertheless, this is not an amateur production. How as a producer, when you got this many people, some of whom with legitimate, pretty strong mm-hmm. egos and a notion of their value, mm-hmm. working over a long time of rehearsal, and then, man, I mean, y'all are going to be on the stage for several weeks. So how do you work out the economics of this, and how do you persuade people not to insist on union wages?
Well, we've always tried to pay well, and we generally do better than what I'm aware of the going rate. You know, you don't want to – there was an article in the New York Times, I think, the other day about how little nationally people are getting away with paying actors. And that's not fair. So
but part of it is because, I mean, it's a release for people, and it is mm-hmm. an exciting thing, even though they do have to work. Hours a night.
Actors are always underpaid. Mm-hmm. I mean, most of the time, you know, compared to what the value of what they're bringing to the project, to the show. But yeah, everybody loves doing the show. That's the thing that's been amazing, talking about the different personalities and things. The group is gelled in a way that I'd hoped for.
Yeah, that's obvious. You can tell this just from listening to the mm-hmm. pieces of the production that you shared with us is that people are enjoying doing it. But nevertheless, somebody's got to deal with making the enjoyment aspect work out economically for each person and not for people to get jealous. Is that a challenge for you, or do you just does it just kind of fall into place?
It fortunately falls into place and always has. And I think the fact that folks I've worked with before come back again. In fact, every time I've asked somebody I've worked with before to ask with us again, if they say no, it's a scheduling thing. It's not because they don't want to do the show. I mean, we've had people take their vacation to come down
and
do shows.
Next time you're ready, you convinced me I'll be ready next time to do this. Listen,
all right.
This is D.G. Martin, and who's talking, and I'm talking to the producer and the music producer and lead role player in Diamond Studs, Franklin Golden, and the music director, Creighton Irons, about the production. And we're going to come back and share with you some more samples from what you'll hear if you go out to Farringdon Barn and see the production while it's here. We'll be right back.
Question: do you believe that real men have to clean their own gutters? You know the routine. Your wife suggests that having the gutters tended to by professionals might be a good investment for many reasons. But you're offended by the idea because it's your house and you're the man and you're going to clean those gutters if it's the last thing you do. But in truth, it really is the last thing you do. I'm Charlie Quayle of Gutter Solutions. My certified team will install our now famous Leaves Out gutter covers and will help you keep your promise of clean gutters. Don't underestimate the wear and tear that your house and gutters take from improper maintenance. Protect your investment and add value by installing Leaves Out gutter covers. And remember the timeless proverb, real men stop gutter clutter with Leaves Out.
Call Gutter Solutions today at 967-7979 or find them on the web at leavesout.com.
What'd your mama tell you to do when you were growing up? Eat your greens. Well, Mama Dip is no different, and with all the vegetables that Mama Dip's has to offer, how could you not? Everybody knows that Mama Dip's collards, black-eyed peas, fried okra, and yams are the best in town. Top it off with a homemade biscuit or cornbread. Mama Dip's family is big enough without having to look after you, so don't forget to eat your greens. Mama Dip's Kitchen, open all day, every day, on West Rosemary Street in Chapel Hill.
You can hear D.G. Martin with a replay of Who's Talking from the whole week, Sunday mornings on News Talk 1360, WCHL.
Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. I'm talking to Creighton Irons, who's the music director of a new production of Diamond Studs, The Life of Jesse James, that is now playing at the Barn, Farringdon Village. And with him is the producer out of Mojo Productions, Franklin Golden, who is also operating as the lead role of Jesse James. We talked some about some of the romance of Jesse James as in the story that you guys will be are telling. But it's not all fun and games. You have to deal with the fact that, that people got caught. And how does that fit into the story?
Well, the first act closes with Jesse's cousin, Cole, and Bob going off to prison and one of the other cousins dying up in Minnesota.
They went up to try to pull a bank robbery up there, and it wasn't quite as successful.
Didn't go like they planned. I mean, you know, everybody was after these guys. So everywhere they went, they were wanted, and the posters were everywhere. The Pinkertons are the arch nemesis of the James gang, and so they have a victory in Minnesota when they capture some of them and kill one of them. So that's the way the first act actually closes with the new prisoner song, and then it kind of goes back into a reverie of the old days of Robin and having a big time when you're done. So
we got a. And this is not the final production, but this is a pretty good rehearsal piece from the prisoner song. Jesse James's cousins are in jail. And
yeah. This is we got a little clip of the new prisoner song, and it's Cole Younger, and Jim Younger singing together. And these characters are played by Miles Andrews and Rick Hockman, respectively, of Big Fat Gap. And they did a great job with this song.
Let's listen to it.
Sitting alone, sitting all alone, sitting in my cell all alone, thinking of the days gone by me, and knowing that I once had a home.
All right. Well, that's, I'd like to hear the rest of that, but that I guess I'm going to have to go out to hear it. That sets this, that's kind of the conclusion of the first act.
It's almost the conclusion. It's
we wouldn't let an act end like that.
No, never, never.
well, we ended with a big, you know, the show ends, the act ends with a big ensemble number. That's, you know, with dancers on stage and everything like that. It's Cakewalk to Kansas City that leads into KC Line. Both big, you know, train robbing numbers.
So just to put it in a. This, you put it in a musical context, but in the story context, you got the cousins in jail, but Jesse James is still,
he's still on the loose,
still operating. And what is the story intro to this Cakewalk to Kansas City?
Well, what Cole and Jim have just gotten out of prison, and Jim,
so they've been in prison now over many years, and now they get out.
9 years or something, 7 years. They've been
seven
in jail. Seven long years they've been in prison. And they get out, and Jim's decided after doing a lot of reading in prison that he's become a socialist, and he's going to go work for socialist government, which ought to play well, I guess. and Cole, you know, as he's leading out of prison, he hears a train off in the distance, and it just takes him back to the old days of robbing the trains. And so they have a scene where they rob a train. It's all just a flashback, reverie kind of deal. And then they close with the big number of the show, Cakewalk to Kansas City.
Well, this is the sort of signature signature song of Diamond Stud. So let's listen to it.
Well, we ride the train and we're going insane and funneling all this gold. Gonna go to the stream and wash ourselves clean and throw up these raggedy clothes. Saturday night ain't going far. We found a town, they want it from bar to bar. We're gonna cakewalk to Kansas City. Have us a time. Cakewalk to Kansas City. That ain't no crime. Just a kill's a night to fight. We'll be wearing Diamond Studs tonight. Diamond studs, wearing diamond studs tonight. Well, all the glitters is not gold. There's only one kind of heavenly light you can grab in your fist. The Bible says a man must be wise. So I don't crave money, I just love what it buys. Bye, we're going
cakewalk to Kansas City. Have us a time. Cakewalk to Kansas City. That ain't no crime.
But not to fight. We'll be wearing diamond studs tonight. Diamond studs, wearing diamond studs tonight. Let's walk.
Oh man! Well, and that's the conclusion to the first act of Diamond Studs. If you joined us late, man, if you tuned in and you were listening to that song, you couldn't leave, could you? You couldn't tune. You couldn't retune. You can hear all of this in the current production of Diamond Studs, The Life of Jesse James. It's out at Farrington Village in the Big Barn, and it will – gosh, I've got the producer and the music director with me, Franklin Golden and Creighton Irons. You know, people want to see this. Tell us, give us the details about the production.
Well, we're running 12 shows starting January 26th, and we've got – some of these shows are already sold out, so but some are still available. And the way to get tickets is at studsatthebarn.com. That's the best way.
Mm-hmm. Okay, by the way, we'll put this up on our website, studsatthebarn.com, so that you can click and you can buy your tickets right there, or is
yes,
there a –
You can buy your tickets right there online. If you don't have internet access, you can call 545-5701, and we can help you there. Or you can go to McIntyre's Bookstore. They got tickets there right at
Farrington Village.
Okay. So, well, great. And it's $20. It's a whole lot less than you'd be paying if you were – it's a whole lot less than a trip to New York.
That's right.
Let's take a quick break. We've been talking about Diamond Studs, The Life of Jesse James, and we'll be right back.
On my side. Yes, it is.
Sturtevant's Tire and Auto will help get time on your side. Sturtevant's Tire and Auto is now an official North Carolina inspection station. And that's not it. They're also taking appointments. You can make an appointment today at Sturtevant's for your inspection as well as other repair and maintenance needs. So whether it's tires, automotive repairs, scheduled maintenance, or to get your car inspected, you can rely on Sturtevant's Tire and Auto. Sturtevant's is on Highway 54 West. Call 942-TIRE. That's 942-TIRE.
WCHL 1360, time now for Biography for Radio with Jack Perkins, brought to you locally by the Cedars and East-West Partners Community.
Inspired by the gospel music at his uncle's church, he set his heart on a new career. His story next on Biography for Radio.
Do you know your credit score? You should, because staying on top of your credit could help save you thousands of dollars. You can now get your credit score and credit report at freecreditreport.com.
I go online and in seconds, I get my credit report and credit score free.
I can even print it right off my computer.
Staying on top of my credit helped me save a lot of money.
Get your free credit report and score when you sign up for a 30-day credit monitoring trial at freecreditreport.com. That's freecreditreport.com.
Kentucky-born, he was raised by parents whose marriage only lasted until his 15th birthday. He was a rebellious kid and was soon drinking and taking drugs. Then one day, he heard gospel music. He decided to make a career of music. Rock music. He dropped out of school to join a band. But then he met Nicolas Cage and was talked into trying acting. He had a strong start with parts in A Nightmare on Elm Street and Platoon. But he got mired in a pretty boy image when he played a cop in television's 21 Jump Street. To prove he had more than good looks, he accepted a role as the ugly, scarred Edward Scissorhands. His career began to blossom. His personal life took a dive. He divorced, began drinking, and was arrested for trashing a New York hotel. Finally, marriage to French singer Vanessa Paradis sobered him up. In the years after, he was twice nominated for an Oscar in Pirates of the Caribbean and Finding Neverland. Then along came Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Steve Martin and Robin Williams were both up for the lead. But in the end, it went to the versatile actor, Johnny Depp. For Biography, I'm Lawrence Scott.
Biography is a trademark of A&D.
Biography for Radio, brought to you on WCHL by the Cedars of Chapel Hill and East West Partners Community. The Cedars is the country's premier retirement community. Call 929-1995 to find out more on this very special community. Life has been good to you. Now it gets even better at the Cedars of Chapel Hill.
Who's Talking with D.G. Martin can be heard once again Sunday mornings on News Talk 1360 WCHL.
The Welcome back to Who's Talking. It's D.G. Martin. I've got the privilege of talking to the producer and star and the music director of Diamond Studs, The Life of Jesse James, now playing at the Barn. Franklin Golden and Creighton Irons are familiar to many people who live in the Chapel Hill area for lots of reasons. But right now, you all are most famous for being Jesse James and the coordinator of the music for Jesse James.
Well, I'm also Pinkerton and C.C. Portbarrel.
I guess I apologize.
No,
You're the bad guy and the Pinkerton guy. This is Jesse James cast as a Robin Hood, as a Robin Hood figure. We just kind of put aside the fact that he was really a real bad criminal.
Right.
And romanticize it.
Where the good guys are the bad guys and the bad guys are the good guys.
Right. And that is the part of the charm of it.
Mm-hmm.
I wish we had more time to talk about the production. And all of the questions that come up when you're trying to put together something big time like this. The music, though, has got me going, and I bet you the people listening would like to hear one more song. And just pick out one more that you'd share with us and tell us what it's about?
Yeah, I think we should – I'd love to play the opening for people. The opening number just really sets the scene, and it's just a big kickoff is what it is. It's a big kickoff, and it doesn't have a whole lot of important information. Jesse James robbed this train, and no, don't you treat me this away, are pretty much some of the only lyrics. And it's just a big rousing number to get folks going. So
let's listen to it.
Go ahead and play it.
Carry me back to old Virginia. That is where I was born. Give me a home in old Kentucky, darling, keep me warm. Give my seed to Tennessee, where the dogwoods will grow wild. Have the whittler carve a tree for a plaything for my child. The South is my glory. The South is my grief. When death comes to find me, he'll come just like a thief. Way out in the wilderness, the railroad money's rolled. Someone Southern has a payment due on his soul. Someone Southern has a payment due on his soul. On the line for 16 years, I've been the engineer. Long run high balling, oh yeah, that's my calling. Deliver the goods and I get paid, but you know I can make the grade, and there ain't no two-bit punk can stop my engine.
Just James robbed his train.
And the passengers, they say,
no, no, don't stream this way. No, no, don't stream this way.
Jesse robbed them all, they said, raised cries on his head. All the local papers were printing.
Just James, James robbed this train. Just James, James robbed this train. Just James, James robbed this train. Just James, James robbed this train.
Jesse James, he said,
no, no, don't treat me this way. No, no, don't treat me this way. This way, no, don't shoot me this way. This James, James robbed this train. This James.
That's the opening? How do you sustain that level of energy all the way through Diamond Stud?
It takes a lot of work, you know, somebody's got to do it. No. One person I want to mention that I didn't even think about until I heard this song is Taz Halloween and everything she brings to this show. And she's a prominent local performer and who's just a phenomenal singer. Just, you know, leaves everything out on the stage, I guess you could say, and just really adds so much to the show playing the part of Belle Starr.
Well, and how does Belle Starr fit into that now? You've got this female lead.
The boys, after robbing a bank or a train or something, go down to New Orleans. Got to spend it somewhere. And
Belle's ready to accept the money.
Oh, boy, is she. Yeah.
They go take in a show. She really puts on a show.
Well, guys, amazing. I wish we had so much more time to talk about the production. Hearing it and hearing the samples makes it, I think, for those of us who have heard it, mandatory to go out to the barn at Barrington. We'll have on our website connective details. But Franklin Golden, you're the producer. You want to give your telephone number and the connective links one more time?
Sure,
tickets.
The best way to do it is studs@thebarn.com. And or you can call 545-5701. The web page is better because, like I said, we're selling out. We've sold out, I think, four shows. And
already sold out four shows, but there are 20 shows.
There are 12. There are plenty of shows left to see, but they're kind of going fast. So if you want to get them, get in online.
Okay, get them quick. I think in this case, it's a good warning. I mean, that would be a good marketing device in any case, but. The word's getting around. Yeah. Great article in the News Observer. Great article in the Chapel Hill News. More to come in the way of publicity. So you're hearing it here, and you better call maybe right now. Thanks to Franklin Golden of Mojo Productions, the producer of this version of Diamond Studs. Franklin, thanks for bringing it back.
Oh, gosh. It's my pleasure.
And Creighton, thanks to you for connecting us to Chapel Hill and for so sensitively putting together this enthusiastic music.
Thank you so much for letting us be out here.
Thanks to all y'all for listening. We'll be back same time tomorrow.
And now, here's Deborah Miller from A Southern Season.
From our legendary Tar Heels to our incomparable quality of life, our hometown pride is evident at every turn. Named one of America's outstanding retailers at the International Fancy Food Show, we're bursting at the seams with award-winning gifts of good taste, glorious flavors, and gustatory delights. Our family of customers extends far and wide, but we wouldn't even think of calling anywhere else home.
A Southern Season, Chapel Hill's landmark gourmet emporium at University Mall.
East-West Partners presents Bob Woodruff, president of the Cedars of Chapel Hill.
You've probably heard about the Cedars from friends who live there or are thinking about moving there. We're pleased to announce that Phase 2 homes are going fast. And if you want a new home in the country's premier continuing care retirement community, you need to act now. Give us a call at 259-7929 and come take a look. No obligation, just an opportunity to meet some nice people and see what people are raving about. We'll throw in lunch or dinner and even overnight accommodations in one of our Cedars homes. And you don't have to be from out of town to take advantage of the overnight stay. If you've wondered what it would be like to live at the Cedars, come spend a night with us and enjoy our amenities and fine dining. Call us at 259-7929. At the Cedars, life has been good to you. Now, it gets even better.
The Cedars of Chapel Hill is an East-West Partners community.
This is Roy Williams. I don't really know whether all of the best things in life are free, but I do know that the free rides on our local buses are a good deal for everybody. Obviously, you save money by paying no fare, no gas money, and no parking fees. You get where you want to go on time, and the buses are amazingly convenient.
Meet at home, at work, in the car. News Talk 1360, WCHL, Chapel Hill, Carrboroughs, News Talk and Tar Heel Station.